Hey.
This is a Now the Music with Marshall and Virginia. And go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of And Now the Music. This is our holiday episode of it. And today I have in the studio with me Marshall Griffith on piano and Virginia Crabtree on flute. And of course, you can't see him, but Nate Lockwood is doing some video stuff off to the side. Thank you, Nate. And Bruce Gigax, our audio engineer extraordinaire, is in the control room. And I am your host, Liz Huff. So I'm going to ask things to get started with our pianist and flute player, and I think they're doing Over the River and Through the Woods. Fantastic! What a great opening for our holiday episode. Thank you both so much for being here. Official welcome to Marshall and Virginia. Marshall, I'm going to look at you first and say you were starting to tell me a little bit about the arrangement behind this piece. So what would you like to share with us?
Well, it's interesting that no one knows who wrote the song.
Oh.
It's an unknown author of the music. The lyrics are known from a poem, and it was initially a New England boys song. And people have changed the lyrics some. It's Over the River and Through the Woods now, but it's actually technically wood.
The one
and
wood.
It's going to grandfather's house, not grandmother's, in the original.
Okay.
But in the middle of the song, I threw in a little bit of Matt Dennis's Let's Get Away From It All.
Oh, so, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's get away from it all.
Nice.
So as a journey song and so forth. And it's just a fun little poem about a New England Thanksgiving and holiday period. So, it's a wonderful song. It's just a beautiful melody. And so,
very cool.
But it's an interesting, it has an interesting history.
Now, before we get into the rest of the podcast, would you both tell us a little more about how you started performing together? Because Virginia was just reminding me, I couldn't believe it had been this long, that we had last performed together in a Christmas in July concert, maybe 5 years ago. I cannot believe it's been that long. So, yeah. But how did the two of you start performing together?
Would you like to answer that question, or would you like me
well,
to answer?
Well, we'll both answer.
Yes.
We weren't really playing together, except we're both artists for the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, okay.
And she used to play with a guitar player, but I can't think of his name right now.
Ben Kumpel.
Ben.
Oh, Ben Kumpel.
And then
okay.
Ben left to go back home to Minneapolis, and Virginia needed somebody to play partnerships with. And Greg Bonanno, who was running the event at that time, thought we'd be a good pair, and he was right.
Oh, okay.
So,
and just because not everyone's going to know what that means, to be playing music at the Cleveland Clinic, what does that mean?
Well, it's over 10 years now, the program. Mm-hmm. They have an artist-in-residence program. And there's music in various lobbies, in the surgery center, in the eye center. And it's basically there. It's not music therapy. It's just music performances for people. A distraction and a sense of comfort. And we get a lot of that. People will video us and then send the music and the video to the patient in the room.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So you really feel like you're doing something wonderful. I just finished, before I came here today, that's where I was.
Okay.
And I did about 10 requests from Rachmaninoff to Santa Baby to a Hanukkah song.
So
every day is another adventure at the clinic. So,
Nice. Okay. And then I think we're going to do the Cherry Tree Carol next, and that's Joan Baez?
No.
No?
It's a Carol Carol.
Oh, it's a Carol Carol. That's just who I happen to listen to singing it then. Okay, so she didn't write that. I just happened to find that. Yeah, okay, I know nothing about this. Tell me about this one.
Virginia, answer this one because this is one of her favorites.
All right.
Well, actually, the first time I was exposed to this piece was in discovering this arrangement. It was in a collection of Christmas pieces that were written for flute and piano, and I had never heard of this carol before ever. And I just started playing it, and I thought it was beautiful. It's Appalachian, and I don't know the significance of the cherry tree or why it's associated with Christmas.
I can answer that part.
Yeah, Marshall can answer that.
I can, because this is the lyrics chronicle the trip of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and they stop and pick cherries as part of their journey.
Oh.
And so the carol is from the 19th century.
Oh, wow.
And the setting is sort of Appalachian sounding, but in its other form, it's just like any other Christmas carol, more of a hymn type arrangement.
Okay, learn something new every day. That's why we're here.
Shall we cherry tree carol?
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful. Thank you. Yay. I would love to clap, but I don't like mess up the sound by clapping very loudly on mic since I'm right on top of it. So imagine me like, yay, tiny clapping.
Well, we don't mind clapping. Okay. It's good.
I just have
but
to turn
it
to the side.
We don't get applause at the clinic either.
Oh, I'll turn to the side and clap. Yay.
Yeah.
So I have something about a G minor Christmas medley, and I know there's more to it than that. So what's going on?
Well, our recording engineer decided the G minor Christmas just didn't cut it, so he changed the title to The Mystery of Christmas, and it still doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just the three pieces are in the key of G minor, and the first one is the Dutch word for Christmas.
Oh, which
and
is?
Konjadiet.
Okay.
And then the second one is a Dutch carol, which doesn't have a name except Dutch carol.
Oh, okay.
And then the last one is the Lulee.
Oh, yeah, I love that piece.
Which has a really dark history. It's about the massacre of the innocents and the dead children that Herod was trying to eliminate the Messiah. So this was a lullaby to doomed children.
That's, wow, okay.
So we didn't think doomed Christmas would be particularly good, so I think the mystery of Christmas may be a little better.
But for us, it was
an arrangement. And I decided in the Lulee to use some pretty odd chords to match up the text.
Uh-huh.
So there's some really crunchy harmonies in here and to make it seem a little bit more.
So for those who enjoy a little side of the morbid with their holiday
there's just
seasoning.
Well, it's just programmatic writing.
We, so I like it.
No. We shared that just to get you in the mood.
Yeah. I'm
but
so
we also
there.
Did it in a jazzy style.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And there's a solo in the middle for the flute and so forth. So
nice.
All right, so here's our G minor Christmas, the mystery of Christmas, the doomed Christmas medley. Here it is. Whoops. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yay. Clap over here. Yay. Oh, so cool. It's so interesting to me because when you think about like sort of Christmas in the United States as both a secular and sacred holiday, there's a lot of tie-ins with stuff that it actually is a lot more modern, I think, than people realize. You know, sort of the 50s, like Rudolph and all those sort of things. And then there's these English and German and other French carols, right? That go back centuries.
Carols from every country.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we probably have those books at home. It's like 101 or 1,000 carols. And it's funny because you keep hearing the same ones over and over in commercial radio. So it's nice to hear something a little different.
Well, that I did strive to do that.
I guess I can tell. You did an excellent job of it.
Just give me a minute. My mother said, he can ruin anything.
Oh. So I was looking at, I think, Caroling.
Caroling
and Toyland. What made you decide to put those two together?
Well, they have absolutely nothing to do with one another.
Okay.
But I put them in the same key in terms of that. And then I was messing around with something that's called metric modulation.
Explain
where, more. Well, modulation in music means you change the keys, higher, lower, go to a different space. But you can do this metrically because this rhythm, that stays the same through the entire three versions of each piece. But originally it's in 6/8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. And then these become a unit in 4/4 time.
Cool.
And then the last one is a jazz waltz. Dum bum bum. So it's, and so what happens is the tempo changes, but there's a uniform sound that stays the same.
Like a pulse.
A pulse. It's like pulse music.
Okay.
So this was more of a musical fun thing, so I decided to do a little 6/8. regular carol, and then do a bossa nova version, and then a jazz waltz version of each song in turn. There's three versions of Caroling, and then three versions of Toyland that does the same trick, and then we finish up with another basic version of Caroling.
Okay, and so Virginia, I have a quick question for you. Then what's it like sort of like jumping around style-wise with this for you?
It's a lot of fun. Marshall plays the bossa nova sections by himself, and then I re-enter on the jazz waltz. So as long as I've been maintaining that pulse in my head, theoretically, when I enter, it should lock back in without a hitch.
Okay.
It is weird because it's the same, but it never feels the same.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Okay, cool.
All right. Well, shall we give it a try, Virginia?
Fleeting thought watching you two just a second ago. I was like, don't try this at home. It's wow. That was very cool. Thank you.
No, oh, you're welcome. It's fun to play, actually, when you get over the tragedy of the, the moment of the time. It's like, oh my God, I'm not going to get lost.
Right. But, no, I blinked. Oh no.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Right? I feel like the biggest challenge on that one is making sure I aim well enough for my pedal so the page turns.
Yeah,
when
I had a little page turn issue, but hopefully it wasn't too obvious.
So you're both using iPads right now?
Yes,
for music? Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Very cool. It's I have one.
Well,
of those
that
at
has
home.
A story in itself. Oh, yeah? I play concerts with both Virginia and a violinist, Callan Beerley, who mm-hmm. played on your program mm-hmm. too, I think. And she's very high tech.
Mm.
And we were playing together, and I'm using paper, and the word dinosaur came up.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I think that has to end. So I went out and bought an iPad Pro, and then I spent a year learning how to do all the things I need to do and putting things in my tablet. Now I have about 5,000 songs in my tablet. So when I play an event anymore, I pretty much have it.
It is nice.
Oh, it's a lot better than taking cases and guessing what might people like to hear. So, but this particular one coming up is, well, this is one of Virginia's favorites.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, I love the way that Marshall juxtaposed the two carols in this one. Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and I wonder as I wander. And I think both of them share a similar message, because the first one, let all mortal flesh keep silence, is saying keep silent or stay silent in your awe of what has happened in God becoming man in the event of Christmas. So it's sort of that awe-inspired silence. And then the second one, I wonder as I wander, is another one. It's sort of wondering at the greatness of the mystery of what has just occurred, you know, for Christmas. So I think that the two of them go together very well, and I think Marshall has arranged them beautifully.
All right. Yeah, let's listen. It's beautiful. Ah, I can see why you like that one so much.
And neither one of them have I had ever done anything with.
Huh. All right.
And Let All Mortal Flesh was brand new carol for me.
Oh, really? Okay. Is a sometime church singer. Long
Are you familiar with the carol?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, in Lutheran, growing up Lutheran, it's a very kind of thing.
Well, I grew up Lutheran too, but I don't think...
Which flavor?
It was Air Force Lutheran.
Oh, so, okay.
Military bases, man.
I'm on the more liberal side, the ELCA kind of. I was going to say, we have some pieces that we're going to add into this, some that Marshall and I did from previous holiday things. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about Tree Child's Eyes.
Well, I've always wanted to write a Christmas carol, and so I spent a lot of time researching how they're organized. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, a lot of them have the same arrangement of syllable lengths.
Hmm.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, mm-hmm. eight, and then it's always eight. Here are the herald angels sing. Mm-hmm. There's always eight syllables. So I messed around with trying to, and then match it up with either a seven or a five. So there's real bizarre organization to these carols, but they don't seem complicated. But they come from dance. Carols were dances.
Okay.
And so there was a step procedure. So the music was to match the steppings of these carol dances.
Uh-huh.
I thought it'd be fun. And through me, I grew up in the TV generation in the early days. So a lot of my childhood Christmas memories are about television programs.
Mm-hmm.
So Through a Child's Eyes, and then it talks about Charlie Brown. You know, it talks about various things. You know, you sang it with me. And so it was really just something I always wanted to do. And it's the only thing I've ever written lyrics to.
What? Oh my goodness. I never realized that.
Well, I did write my opera libretto.
Yes.
But I didn't think of those as like lyrics to a song.
Yeah. That's right. It's a little different.
A little bit different. Right.
Okay, cool. Then we'll hear that next. Okay, great. I'm so glad you were able to share that with everybody. So now we have, what is next? O Come, O Come, Emmanuel?
Yeah.
And when I listened to this from the recording you've made for your CD, the first thought that popped into my mind was James Bond. I do not... Is it just me?
I like that. Okay. And I use all four great... use about six variations of it in the various arrangements. But, I don't think of James Bond in Christmas, but why not?
I mean, why not?
Well, why not?
Okay. Take
O Come, O Come, Emmanuel is one of the oldest things that we have here. This is a 13th century Gregorian chant.
Oh, okay.
And we hear it as,
mm-hmm.
But it's not in that mode originally.
What? What was it?
It's in the end of the... It's in what's called Phrygian mode.
Trixie.
Right. From Phrygia of the ancient world.
Is that where they came from? Okay.
Yeah, all the modes are named after parts of the ancient world.
Okay, I will tell our listeners a secret. I did, in fact, study all of this, and much of it with Marshall, and I'm afraid to say that not all of it has remained in my head. I'm sorry to make you sad today. I can always go back and restudy.
It's all right. It's fine.
It's in there somewhere.
So this has got ancient materials, and then it was sort of inspired by a Chick Corea version of Eleanor Rigby that I played with Brian on his recital, Brian Schweigert from the Institute. And it had this ridiculous left hand and just never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of put all that together. So this is a Gregorian modern thing with a jazz solo. And it's a composite of my mind, I guess. And Virginia gets to play. Why don't you tell them about the opening?
Oh, sure. Well, at the opening, Marshall is playing sort of just that very free, haunting melody line. And I'm sort of, would you call it a pedal?
Right.
Underneath.
You're the cello.
I'm the cello. So I have to start on the lowest note possible on my instrument and just kind of work my way up with half steps. So if it has a different color, that's why it's in that register. This one is also probably my most challenging page turns.
Oh, good. Well, good luck. See, I gave up. I'm using music on this one.
Okay.
Are you ready with your low B?
Well, let's see.
Beautiful. All right, here we go.
Very cool. I get the feeling that you both are sort of swept away in the, you have, especially watching you, Virginia, you look very like I'm in another world right now playing that, which is very cool to see someone completely immersed in the performing experience. I don't know if it feels like that to you, but you definitely.
Well, I find that the more I can think about the music, how I want it to sound, mm-hmm. the less the other details get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm really sort of immersed, that's usually when it sounds best. If I'm thinking about whether my lips are chapped or which finger to move next or where my pedal is, then it doesn't sound as good. So I'm trying. I'm not always successful at getting in the zone there, but that's definitely my goal always.
Well, I think you succeeded.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's one of the reasons I like playing with Virginia.
You have a lovely ensemble together. I mean, you really do. Not everyone has that, so it's always nice to see and hear and experience that.
Thank you.
And then I was going to say there are two more pieces that we're going to be sharing from the holiday CD that we recorded right here a few years ago. One is another piece that Marshall, you and I did mm-hmm. together, I'll Be Home for Christmas, which is always a little bit of a...
Well, that's going to be very appropriate
right?
this year.
Right, we'll all be home for Christmas
We'll all
this
be home
year.
For Christmas. Right, we should re-record with the new lyrics.
Right, well, there's a thought. And then there's another one I thought was appropriate to share because it's with Bob Gruca and Linda White, who we did the first episode of And Now the Music with. The funny thing about this is we were just goofing around in between pieces when this happened, and Linda's actually playing piano. She's not even playing flute on this version of Little Drummer Boy, and it was just us kind of running amok and having some fun. So those are going to be the next two pieces. I'll Be Home for Christmas with Marshall, and then Little Drummer Boy with Bob and Linda. Cool. And then, so we have, I can't believe this, we have two more pieces with you two, right? We have two sets of pieces. We have a Santa medley. So why don't you tell me a little about Santa medley. Is this the G major medley?
No. It's good, though. No, they're okay. Just three songs about Santa. There's a lot of songs about Santa, of course.
Yeah.
So and Santa Baby, I believe, was Virginia's suggestion.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
She's like, it's mine now.
And it's funny. I don't usually play it. It's not one that I usually play. But since she wanted to do it, but was fine with me. And I was at the clinic today, and mm-hmm. somebody asked me to play Santa Baby.
There you go.
I said, and what was really funny is that in all this time, I've never played the melody until today at the clinic. Because she plays the melody, and I play the accompaniment. So it was a sight reading moment.
All right,
so here we start with Santa Baby, and then I decided, and for no apparent reason, my favorite things, you know, has become a Christmas song.
Uh-huh.
And so's the Pacabel Canon.
Really? I never
it's played
think
at
of
Christmas,
that Christmas
time and somebody put words to it.
I did not know
so
this.
I put the Pacabel accompaniment to Jolly Old St. Nicholas.
Okay.
And then Santa Claus is Coming to Town has maybe one of the coolest verses
uh-huh.
ever written.
Yeah.
Before the part we all
yeah.
know, of course. And I spent a long time changing all the chords so they matched some sort of plan that I had in mind for the whole thing. And it gets a little complicated, I must admit. But it's still an incredibly beautiful verse. I always like Ella Fitzgerald's
yes,
version of
this.
Yes,
that's one of my favorites,
so.
Too.
So we'll have a little fun. This one's almost like something you'd hear at like a Christmas party gig. It's mm-hmm. some of the things that we played are more concert-oriented,
mm-hmm.
but not this one.
Okay.
This is fun.
Sit back and have some fun.
Yeah, and it was funny when we did the recording, I think we just did it once.
Yeah. Wow,
because
fun.
It didn't, if we did it again, it wouldn't
right,
be the same.
Right, that lose
anyway.
That energy.
So, right, mm-hmm. we wanted that sort of gig energy. So, all right, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, it's so much fun to be like, yeah! That's a fun, such a fun piece and great medley. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I almost made it without making a one chord mistake, but it's the way it goes.
I mean,
it's the way it goes.
You know, there's so many.
There's
so many
a lot of
going
notes.
On.
It's too many notes. Too many notes.
Yeah. Okay. Salieri. No, the Emperor. And, wow. That's a little inside baseball, isn't it? So you guys have just done a holiday recording, right? And when is that coming out?
Well, the whole thing was going to be just a Christmas gift to friends and family.
Okay.
And sort of more or less a vanity CD. And after this is released, it'll be posted on my website.
Okay.
And that's marshallgriffith.com.
Thank you. I was going to ask. Okay.
And it's not up there yet, but they're doing it as we speak.
Oh.
So, wow. But ask Virginia about this next one, because this was another one that she picked for our recording.
Virginia.
Oh, well, you know, this is, when I was a kid, this was actually my favorite Christmas carol. The only reason I can think of is because it was in minor, and I really liked the minor carols.
Okay.
And also the Claymation Christmas special, where the California Raisins sing it. Or not the Raisins, but, no, yeah, it is the Raisins. They're riding camels. but this was one of my favorites. This arrangement is from the same book as the Cherry Tree Carol. So that's Donna Gilliam and Mitzi McCaskill did this one. And it's sort of jazzy with a little flute solo in the middle. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm sure we will. Take it away.
Fantastic.
Why, that time went by so quickly. I am so glad the two of you are able to come in today to record the podcast.
We are happy to be part of your world.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thanks to Bruce.
Yes.
And Nate.
They're back way behind the video stuff. I guess that brings another episode of And Now the Music to an end. And so wishing everyone listening to this a happy holiday, whatever you happen to celebrate or not. We hope things are going well with you and you're staying healthy. And we'll see you sometime soon.
Thanks again for having us.
Great.
Bye.